With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So, Dan, we're watching these playoffs now and haven't seen an Islander game in almost a week, and it pretty much feels like the Islanders haven't even been in this playoffs.
Yeah, by the time they start the second round, Johnny Boychuk will be not healthy. He'll be retired.
Exactly, and we'll see a lot of beards, and our special guest today will actually be in college. And right now, he's only a freshman in high school. Zach, what's going on?
Not much, but this break feels great. All these players can get nice, healthy, rested up for a great battle with either Washington or Carolina.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? Boychuk obviously is out 3 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury, but that's definitely going to take a week off of that, which is really good. And we know like Mayfield and Clutterbuck have been kind of banged up too, so that's definitely helping the wounded Islanders.
Well, I believe if Carolina forces a game 7, that would be Wednesday night, correct?
Yes.
So that means the Islanders probably wouldn't start till Friday.
Yeah, probably Friday.
So that is...
Yeah, or Saturday. But yeah, it's a nice almost 10-day break.
That's about a 10-day break, yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and you know, with the Islanders, with kind of like their bye weeks have always been bad, but at least with that, they've been able to practice. You know, it's not like the, you know, CBA mandated, you know, bye week. So they've been practicing. They've been good. I'm sure Trotz has been, you know, on their butts. So it's far cry from a regular season bye.
Yeah, and even if they start in D.C. against the Caps, all they got to do is get a split. So, I mean, it's, you know, game one is whatever. Just get a split.
Yeah, and then whoever they play, the Caps or the Canes, I mean, they have advantages. They have disadvantages. But one thing they have going into, obviously, this playoff that they haven't had was, a Stanley Cup caliber head coach, and he'll have the advantage over either Brind'Amour or Todd Reardon without a question.
Yeah, you would think. I know Brind'Amour's done a hell of a job, and the Hurricanes do have a bit of a match. There are some issues where could be, there are some matchup issues with the Hurricanes, but the Caps are the Caps, obviously, and they are the defending champions, and who knows them better than Barry Trotz. Each matchup poses different questions, but in the end, I think if you ask me in the beginning of the season, would you like to play the Hurricanes to go to the conference finals? You'd probably say yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because, you know, the season started and we had Thomas Greiss, who was unbelievable against the Canes, and he won't play because we have all-world Robin Lehner, who this week was nominated for not only the Masterson, which we all knew about, but a little bit of a surprise for the Vezina, I thought.
Yeah, well, the thing is, not so much nominated. The voting already happened and he finished into the top three. That's why I don't like the way they word that. They make it seem like, you know, oh, the voting hasn't even happened yet. Here are the nominees. No, the voting's already happened. Here are the top three. So let's just say, here are the finalists for the award. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, but it's like...
So he's in the top three. I seriously doubt he won.
No, I don't think so either. And I think it's great that, because I didn't think he would end up playing enough games. But, I mean, with him and Bishop, they played in the mid-40s. So,
right. Right.
And then... If they play Carolina in the second round, talking about goalies right now, Peter Mrazek isn't nearly as good as Robin Lehner is. Mrazek hasn't been their starter all year, and I'm pretty sure he came there midway through the year.
And he stinks.
And he's really bad.
Yeah, he stinks. If Mrazek's going to be your goal.
No, he doesn't. His numbers are really good, guys. I mean, like, yes, traditionally he's extremely inconsistent, but his high level is very good. It's just not there consistently. They wouldn't be in the playoffs if it wasn't for Peter Mrazek, though.
Yeah, I mean, he stinks. Come on. He stinks.
He does not. Dude, look at his numbers this year.
He's not as good as Robin Lehner. He didn't come in like Binnington did and take the storm by far. He's doing what he can to keep their team alive.
There's a reason why the Islanders didn't go after him last year. When everyone was screaming, including us. We wanted him. And
yeah, but look, I'm just saying he's playing great right now. What happened in the past doesn't matter. You can say the same thing about Lehner. Lehner's had his struggles too.
Well, what happened last game of the? What happened yesterday?
They got bombed.
Right, he was terrible.
It's not all his fault though. The whole team was a complete no-show.
I understand, but you give up 6 goals. I mean,
and on that penalty shot, he wasn't that good either.
No, I'm just saying. All I'm saying is Carolina would not be right here right now if it wasn't for him. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All
right. We're not in a position to underestimate anyone right now.
No,
if they get to the next round, which I don't think they will. I think they're going to force the game seven, but I still think the Caps are going to win the series. They get to the next round, it's going to be because of Mrazek.
Which is totally fine. I mean, let it go seven, and who cares?
But his numbers this year, he didn't even play half the year. He played 40 games, and he had 23 wins, 14 losses, 3 OT, 239 goals against, and 914 save. It wasn't awful, but
how many games Lehner started? What, 7 or 8 more games than that? It does not matter at this point.
I mean, he basically had what Thomas Greiss had this year. He had a good year.
He had a good year, and his he's just very inconsistent.
No, he's not consistent, and that's what you need in the playoffs. You need a consistent goalie.
And hasn't he faced injuries?
No, I agree.
You know,
but for the most part in this series, with the exception of that last game, he's been pretty good. That's what I'm saying.
No, I mean, I know, but still, I mean, you're not going to, go to war with Peter Mrazek.
We're not in a position to disrespect any opponents right now. You take all of them seriously. The Hurricanes face some problems for the Islanders because they carry the puck so much. And they are possession monsters, and so you might not get as many chances as you get against the other teams.
No, you're not. And any one of these teams that are left can win the cup.
You can
make a case for it. I mean, it's so wide open.
It is. Ever since with Tampa gone, it's wide open.
And what everyone's been talking about, how this is not good for the sport that you have the two number ones out. How often is this the first time it's ever happened? We had both number ones out in the expansion era. It happens. I mean, and people talk about how the regular season doesn't matter. Of course it matters. You know, people – I don't know if you saw what Pierre LeBrun said.
That was stupid.
Yeah, it was very stupid. Playing games
– I respect it, but that's just stupid.
Yeah. I mean, Pierre should know better than that. And I like what Bob McKenzie kind of quietly dismissed him there, you know. But, so
– It's all about matchups. It's all about matchups this time of year. You have to be able to – battle through adversity, and a lot of the teams that were cruising, they didn't have any adversity. What kind of adversity did Tampa or Calgary face this year? None.
No.
Whereas the teams who barely get in have had to play mistake-free hockey for 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and if you look at, okay, with Tampa losing, okay, the way they lost, fine, it's a big surprise, but if they would have lost that series in seven, would that have been that big a surprise? I don't think so.
I mean, it would still be a surprise and an upset, but, you know, not like getting swept, of course.
Yeah, I mean, because Columbus obviously needed some time to gel. They have a Vezina winning goalie. They have old world talent on that team. They have a Stanley Cup winning coach. They just had to get it together, and they did. And I don't want to play them. They're freaking dangerous.
No, but they're also a very dirty, physical, grimy, gritty team that beat up on a team that didn't want to get hit.
Right.
Tampa doesn't like to get hit. Pittsburgh doesn't like to get hit. Calgary didn't like to get hit. You saw Gaudreau complain the entire series.
Yeah.
Look, that's the thing, too, is these skilled players have to realize that they're not going to get calls right now. So you just shut up and play through it.
And you know what? Speaking of that, you bring up a good point. Matt Barzal, who had a stupid penalty in game four, of course he was getting hit 9 million times. You can't,
right.
You can't lose your cool there. You can't retaliate because obviously they're going to penalize the person who's retaliating.
It's one thing too, though, like when you get hooked or held to be complained, but he got punched like 7 times in the head.
No, he did, but you know, you got to be better than that.
And there's one thing.
If I punch you 7 times in the head, you're going to swing back at one some point.
Well, yeah, but you make sure a ref's not around to see it.
Right.
And there's one thing about that play, because Dumoulin held him in the corner and kept pounding on his neck 5 times. And then, of course, Barzal is going to get up and slash him. But I don't feel like the way Barzal did it was the way you should handle that.
Yeah, but they have a lot of dirty players in that team, so I'm glad that they're gone as well.
I mean, Hornquist, a lot of them are.
This is how it is this time of year, though. You have to keep your head. You have to try to not respond. I know sometimes it's almost impossible to not respond. But you just have to assume that you're not going to get the penalty called. And that's part of the problem with the league, too. What's a penalty in October should be a penalty in April, and that's not the case.
Or
the rule book goes away.
Agreed. Or a penalty in the first period should be a penalty in overtime.
Right, and that's also not helping these skill teams as well either.
Yeah, just, you know, call
you can it. You can get away with more and you can slow them down more, you know?
Yeah, you call it the same way. And also, when you play the same team over and over again in such a short stretch, it's, you know, you get dirty, you know, you get chippy. So it is what it is. But this whole playoffs is just been, it's been fantastic. I mean, the Blues. I mean, remember when the Islanders played the Blues the first time this year? They were a disaster.
The Blues were in last place at Christmas, right?
Yeah, and they were about to sell off Tarasenko and all their players. And look at them now. I mean, they're in the second round. It's unbelievable. I mean, the Jets, someone had a great tweet that basically the Jets are back to being the Atlanta Thrashers. They can't get out of the first round. So
they went to the conference final last year.
I know. But it's, you know, come on. That's get a rain in everyone's parade, Dan. What's Jesus? Debbie Downer here.
I think it's very disappointing that they lost. They need to do something because something just wasn't right with that team. And I feel the same way about Nashville. Something's not right with Nashville either.
Yeah, and also Dallas. I mean, Dallas. Who thought Dallas?
Dallas is very good. We don't see them a lot. They're very good. They have three of the best young defensemen in the game.
Yeah.
And Bishop.
And Bishop.
Healthy Bishop and three of the best young defensemen in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the best team coming out of the West right now, how can you not say, is the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, 8-0-2 in your final 10 games to make the playoffs. I mean, four games to one against the Flames. Their team is so young and nasty. They're probably, in my opinion, they're the favorites to win the Western Conference now.
Whoa.
That's a
hot take.
Yeah.
Philip Grubauer has been nasty. Let in four goals game one and then two and under in games two through five. So I'm going with the Avs to win the Western Conference right now.
They're still top heavy to me. If you can now the way the McKinnon and Rantanen are playing right now, they're playing all world. But I still like Vegas if they can get by San Jose. I think that'd be a really great series. But I really, I said it before the playoffs started, and I really like Dallas. And if you're asking me who's going to come out of the West right now, I think it's going to be them. They have scoring, enough scoring, not a ton. They have enough scoring, but man. Bishop's playing all world right now, and Klingberg, Lindell, and Heskinen are as good as it gets on that blue line. You have three electric, puck-moving defensemen that can eat minutes and also play on their own end.
All right, well, we got Dallas, Colorado. How about you, Dad?
Well, I picked Vegas before the playoffs. I'm sticking with it.
I like that pick a lot, too.
Yeah, I'm sticking with them. I think the next series, if they get past the Sharks, and, you know, play Colorado, it's going to be a fantastic series. I mean, all those games are going to be freaking, I think, like 7-5, 6-4. It's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, defense option a lot with.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dirty series, too, just by seeing Marceau in the box screaming like that. It's going to be a nasty series,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. But, you know, we are an Islanders podcast, so we should go back to the Islanders sec. With the, you know, Boychuk being out, this is a far cry from, you know, 2015 playoffs when, you know, Vishnovsky was out, and I think someone
DeHaan was hurt.
Yeah, DeHaan got hurt. And, you know, yep. And we had Matt Donovan and Griffin Reinhart, you know, in the game, and you know, in game 6 and 7. But now we have, you know, Thomas Hickey, who, you know, is no stranger to playoff drama, and I think he'll be fine. You know, just, you know, shuffle the lines a little bit. But you knew Boychuk was going to go down this year so at some point. It's just a shame that it's during the playoffs.
But he should probably only miss if they can get past this next round, and it's a long series. You might see him at the end of this round. It's a possibility.
I mean, it's possible. If you go
6 or 7, you should see him back in the lineup.
Yeah, you might see him back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because from all the injuries they've had this year, whether it's been you know Val Fippola and now even Tanner Fritz, they say they're all Angel Ladd. You know, forget about that. But all the guys. I mean, the time frame they've been giving them, it's been pretty long. So, and they've all come back, you know, sooner than later. So who knows? I mean, having him back will certainly help.
They can survive with Hickey there. Hickey is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, if he's basically not going to be your sixth defenseman, that's totally fine. And you know, he's known for a little bit of playoff overtime drama, so not bad.
Yeah, and they can handle. This team is deep enough now that it can handle a couple injuries. Now, obviously, you can't handle any huge ones, but it can handle some bumps and bruises there. And there is depth in the lineup where other guys can step in.
Yeah, and speaking of depth, Bridgeport Sound Tigers started their playoffs over the weekend. They had a really, really thrilling Game 1 double overtime win against Hershey. when I got there, the crowd was a little sparse, but it filled up nicely. I think they got about 5,000 for both games over the weekend.
And as double overtime went on, I think they lost about half that crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of Islander fans came over. I don't know what the ferry schedule is. I don't know.
The ferry closes at some point at night. At some point, there's a last ferry over. So I think that probably had a lot to do with it.
Probably. It was a really scary moment in the third period where I don't know if you saw the play with Aaron Ness kind of sliding into the boards.
I did.
And, you know, thankfully they didn't show a replay on the Jumbotron during the game because obviously no one knew the extent of the injury. But everyone thought it was kind of a dirty play by Travis St. Dennis. And it turns out it really wasn't. It just kind of got tied up and he just
went off the goalpost.
Slid off the board. Yeah. And, you know, he got the 5 minutes in the game and he ended up getting suspended for a game. And luckily Aaron Ness is... should be fine and
good.
Yeah, you know, former Islander, former Sound Tiger captain. So, you know, thoughts out to him. A little bit about we'll talk about Wahlstrom and Bellows in a second, but Josh Hosang. There was another article, and you know, every month or so, there's always an article about Hosang, how he's, you know, playing in Bridgeport and how he should be on the Islanders and he's upset. Enough of those articles. You know, it's freaking clickbait.
It's just human clickbait right now for the fan base.
It's so frustrating. And I thought he had a decent game. He was all over the ice. You know, he was weaving
game,
through the players.
Game one, right? Game one is pretty good.
Game one. But the problem is he doesn't shoot the puck.
I was going to say, right. I don't remember the last time I've seen this guy shoot the puck. I think in game one, he probably had about 10 minutes with the puck, and I didn't see one shot come off his stick. He's playing the puck. He went all around into the zone, skated all the way back out, and had the puck for probably a good minute and a half right there without one shot on net.
Yeah, I don't know. He may have registered one shot on goal the whole game, but he had this wide-open shot from 15 feet away. He opted to pass to Kiefer Bellows, who shot it wide. They asked him after the game, you know, why he, you know, didn't shoot the puck at that point. And his answer was a little weird. He's like, well, I passed it to the guy who ended up scoring the game-winning goal anyway. He didn't score on that play, but when you have an open, shoot the puck. You know, at this point, no one's going to respect him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know what? No one. I could care. Honestly, I haven't heard his name in weeks, and I'm perfectly fine with that because you know we're focused on bigger goals up with the big team right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's you know we're talking about is hockey games right now. The Islanders don't have any games going on, but
no. He is what he is. This is you know he's. Not much has changed in certain aspects of his game. There's been some growth in certain areas. But there's a reason why he's down there when he has the talent too. And it probably is a reason why he's not going to get qualified, you know?
Yeah.
And then one thing about Hosang and him not shooting the puck, he had two shots entirely in game one. I mean, Steven Chianta had more than him. He had five shots. And then Chris Bork had nine shots throughout that game. So that just shows how Hosang is way too fancy with the puck and trying to do way more than he's supposed to do by having two shots on net, which must be the team's best player.
Yeah. Well, Steven Gianta had a fantastic game, by the way.
Two broken sticks.
Yeah, exactly. But you didn't get any of them, right?
No, I wish.
But Alvo Wahlstrom, he had a fantastic game. The AHL is agreeing with him, definitely. So he's definitely interested, you know, going forward. And Kiefer Bellows, who had a really, really... inconsistent first year in the AHL. He had two goals. He had the game winner, both beautiful shots. And you noticed him away from the puck as well, which is key because the 30 games prior, he was invisible pretty much.
What you like about Bellows, you see that game-winning goal. He's kind of the bumper when the play gets into the offensive zone where he can find holes in front of the net. And all you got to do is get the puck to him and he can snap it and get into the back of the net because no one will deny the shot that he has and the hands that he has, which are not really teachable things. So you love that. It's just everything else has to get better. He has to get faster. He has to think the game faster, and obviously his skating has to improve. It already has improved over the course of last year. It's just he needs to get bigger, stronger, faster, and do everything at a quicker pace, and his starts and stops have to be better, because obviously his skating definitely struggled throughout the season. But what he can do, the things that he does really well, aren't necessarily teachable things. So you have to be extremely encouraged with his progression, even though he had a rough year in Bridgeport. It's like, okay, here's what we work on in the offseason, and maybe here's what we work on in the playoffs, and he comes back next year and is a much better player. And it's one of the things now where after you see the progression of what Michael Del Cole has become after a few years, I'm not writing anyone off right now. You give him time, you let him go, you let him mature in Bridgeport, and when he's ready, he'll get called up.
Yeah, I was just going to say about Del Cole, because basically 3 years it took Del Cole to be where
right,
he is now.
Right, yeah, which is longer than most, but you're not, but his transition over the past 12 months has been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Transformation, that's the better word. Transformation.
Yeah. That's the correct word. Yeah, and even like Oliver Wahlstrom, he had a down year in college. That's in the past right now. He's
it doesn't matter. It's over with.
Right, making a contribution with Bridgeport. And what's up, Jack?
So
Jordan Everly had a bad season, but the slate gets wiped clean when the playoffs.
Exactly.
And I know how we're talking about all these Sound Tiger rookies. I think we're probably keeping out the best one. Otto Koivula, he's been nasty all year. He's one of those forwards who's not afraid to get physical when he has to. He'll check you into the boards, but his wrist shot is nasty. He finished the year with 21 goals, 25 assists, and 46 points.
Yeah, and basically playing a new position. He was a winger starting the year and moved over to center because the organization has no centers, and he had a really good, he had a little bit of a wall towards the end of the year, but it's good that the other guys have been picking him up.
Yeah, you look at him, he's become a bit. You weren't sure what you were getting with him. Same thing, he improves his foot speed, he gets used to playing center. I think he might see the NHL toward the end of this year, I really do.
It's possible. I wouldn't expect him before then, because let him, develop, as center.
No, right. Let him,
yeah.
There's no reason. You're right.
Absolutely. But, yeah. All right, Dan, you're breaking up again there, so.
All right,
so.
Where do you want to pick this up?
I guess just after my point with Koivula. You want to go just
so repeat what I did on Colt. Repeat what I did on Otto.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Here we go. 3, 2. Otto's really put himself on the map. I mean, you weren't sure what to expect from him coming over and playing in North America. He's gone from like a prospect that you had your eye on to someone who's really jumped up the charts. His skill set's off the charts. His size is really intriguing. He just needs to get improve his foot speed and play center more because, obviously he's only played half a season at center. He's someone that's definitely now viewed, I think, as someone in the plans for the big club in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even, potential trade chip because they have a lot of a lot of prospects down there. I know if you're going to trade a center, you want to get one in return, but it's an interesting scenario with him. Another prospect who basically is kind of like, I've heard he's called the white whale. I like to call him the girlfriend we have in Canada, is Ilya Sorokin, who had another fantastic KHL playoff. He was the MVP.
What's he coming over?
He's not a prospect. He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah. You see his beard? It's huge. It's like Joe Thornton's beard.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like running for prime minister or whatever Putin's role is. He's a grown-ass man. He's not even a prospect anymore.
It's funny, but he'll have his one more year in his contract, which is totally fine because Grice has one more year, too. If he gets here, so be it. I mean, now with Leonard, you want to get him signed, obviously, but you have a franchise goalie right there. So, and plus, with his, I wouldn't call a nomination, okay, top three in the voting for the Vezina. He's the first Islander since our boy Kelly Rudy in the magical year of 87-88, because everything is going back to that year with the Islanders this year to be a finalist for the Vezina.
I guess until he's over here, you really can't. You don't know what to expect. Yes, his numbers are insane, but it's the KHL. It's not the NHL.
Right.
Do you want him over here? Sure. But is he going to come over here, and if you have to send him to Bridgeport, is he going to whine and pout and run back to Russia? I don't know. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's great what he's doing, but until he's over here and we know we have, I don't even consider him, you know, on the mirror, on the radar right now, so to speak. It's great. If he comes over here in a year, great. But I don't know. Honestly, it is what it is. He's just another prospect over in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – if he does eventually come here, you know, maybe after next year, I don't see him playing in Bridgeport. I mean, because Leonard – Is not
I don't like that. See, I hate that, Noel. You just don't hand the guy from the KHL a backup role. You just don't do it.
I'm not handing him a starting role. I mean, the guy...
No, you don't hand a roster spot to a guy who has played zero games in the NHL unless he's incredible in camp and wins the job.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have like a fringe AHL veteran back there. Or if you want to even bring... I wouldn't even bring Thomas Rice back then. That's not fair to him. You're not going to start a three-goalie circus. But you have
no, of course not. But
you have
that's something you that we're so many months away from that. It's like, you know, it's completely hypothetical.
Well, this is what happens when you have 10 days off and you gotta talk about something.
Yes, this is what happens when your team's still playing and has a 2-week break. Right.
I mean, I know how we have Sorokin, but what about Soderstrom?
Soderstrom? Where is Linus Soderstrom?
He was supposed to be in Bridgeport this year, but wasn't he hurt all year?
Yeah, he signed his ELC, and you know, speaking of the white whale, it's more like Bigfoot with this guy. I think he's just been hurt the whole year.
Was it concussion?
I guess rehabbing. No, it was rehabbing from that hip. It was a hip surgery, right?
Yeah. So, and
which takes a while to begin with, but I thought he would be rehabbing it over here.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, with the goalies in Bridgeport, they've been okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
But you don't want Chris Gibson,
I mean,
right?
Yeah,
away.
I mean, they're not prospects. If Soderstrom was healthy, he'd be here. I mean, they're just basically AHL veterans right now, mining the fort, which is fine,
sure,
if you're going to make a run, in the Calder Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The Islanders are loaded with prospects at Bridgeport. It's not the goalie position. No disrespect to those guys. They're solid AHL veterans. If, you know, someone was banged up, they could come up and spell the backup for a little while, but they're not NHL caliber prospects down there. Carter Hart's not down there.
Right, exactly.
I mean, talking about NHL ready prospects, one of the best ones on Bridgeport, I think, is Sebastian Aho. I mean, he's
absolutely,
like, he's off. He could be one of those two-way defensemen, offensive, defensive. He does both. I mean, the guy had 46 points this year in 67 games. I think he led the team in defensive points. I mean, he's one of those defensemen I'm waiting to see back up on the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, with him, it's just a numbers game. You know,
right.
He'd be here if they had an opening, but it's a shame.
But Devontae has definitely taken on his role ever since coming in mid-December. He's taken that role on well.
Yeah, what else can you say about the guy? I mean, he's been fantastic all year.
Yeah, Tate and Pulak are two guys that don't get national attention, but they're young stars in the making. They really are just outstanding defensemen. And I got to give credit to Adam Pellick, too. We crapped on him a lot over the past year and a half, but he's really matured. He's really looking like a good, steady defenseman. And him and Pulak have really good chemistry together. And they were critical in stopping the Penguins in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I've been more high on higher on Pellick than you have in the past. He has struggled the first half of this year, but I mean, he's been solid, I thought, in the past. I mean, you know, basically, you know, nondescript defenseman. I think he's obviously shown more the second half of the year. And you know, what can you say when you finally have coaching? You know, it's a big thing, right?
You're right.
Yeah, but you know, it's just, speaking of coaching and everything else like that. Obviously, the defenseman and the goaltenders being better. I'm curious to see where Thomas Greiss finished in the Vezina Trophy voting, because his numbers.
I don't know.
His numbers weren't that far off from Robin Leonard's.
They weren't.
So I'm kind of curious. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's top 10, but it's got to be at least 12, 13.
I don't know. Well, obviously, we'll see once they'll reveal the final voting at some point. I'm sure he might have got some votes. I don't know. If you could, honestly, I feel like the best, like, it could just be Islanders goalies.
Yeah, exactly. Which,
if you wanted to go that way. Although I still think that Vasilevsky had an outstanding season, so did Bishop. I mean, if either of those two win, you tip your cap to them because they had great seasons.
Yeah, I can see it. That's pretty much Vasilevskiy's award to win, which he should have won last year.
Probably, yeah.
And then speaking of Thomas Greiss, he was top four in goals against and save percentage in the NHL, like, total goalies. And he had 23 wins on the year. What is that his career high, or is he...
Either was his career high or he tied his career high.
I mean, yeah. 23 and then top four in goals against and save. That's what, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a few votes for the Vezina.
Yeah, he had a fantastic year. He really did. And, you know, good for him because last year was really tough on him. And it's just...
finally had your good goalie duo since Halak and Greiss back in 2015 when Halak was an all-star.
You know what I mean? Halak and Chad Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot
Michael
about Chad
Neuberg.
Johnson. That didn't work out.
Yeah, Michael Neuberg. Or bring back Nathan Lawson or all those
guys. Peter Menino.
Yeah, right? Oh, Peter Menino, yeah. Well, it was, what was it, the 09-10 year when they had those six goalies?
Yeah, Mikko Koskinen, Kevin Poulin.
Yeah.
Six goalies?
Yeah, six goalies.
Oh, they used six goalies that year, yeah. Dwayne Rolston, Al Montoya, and DP Ekstrom.
Oh, my. You know, it's funny because Al Montoya, I mean, thank God Garth picked him up, like, you know, off the waiver garbage pile, because he was like a, you know, godsend for the Islanders at the end of that year.
Yeah, he actually played really well for them.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of goalies, and we're recording this on Easter, we got to give a shout out to Wade Dubowitz with the poke check in 2007, setting the Islanders to the playoffs.
Yes, that was with the shootout win against the Devils. I think it was Sergei Pulin, right? That's who he stopped.
Yeah, and they gave up.
I remember that. I was at Easter dinner watching that, and I just remember just, like, jumping up and down. Actually, Easter dinner was about to be served, and we, like, made them wait so I could finish watching the game.
Right. I was at what, you know, us Jews call Easter. We call it Sunday. So we were just watching the game at my grandparents' house, and that was fantastic. And I remember going up in Sabres, and they lost in five, naturally, but I forgot which game it was. It was three or four where the guy kind of got screwed by a call at the end of the game.
Yeah, there was a call at the end of the game. Something got, either goal got loud or I forget what it was, but they got absolutely hosed in that game.
Yeah.
But they played well in that series, if I recall, even though they lost, they bowed out quickly, which was something that they did back then.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, basically like a, you know, 16 seed in the NCAA tournament, pretty much. But... Hopefully, next time we talk, Dan, we'll actually have a matchup for the Honors.
Yes, please.
Yeah, because, you know, these shows seem like filler, pretty much.
Yeah. Way to insult our own product. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, come on. It's at the end of the show. We already got the download.
yes, we did. Great.
So you said how in 07, I think it was, with the poke check.
Yeah.
There's one poke check that I want to bring up right now about a goalie, Thomas Greisson. I'm pretty sure it was Sidney Crosby in overtime this year.
Yes.
It was a shootout. I remember that. Well, I remember watching that live on the back of the TV. Oh, that was an insane poke check. It looks like a shootout right there. 1v1. Greiss just got all of it on Crosby, and that was magnificent.
Yeah, it was a great play. And you know what's funny? I still think people are picking the Penguins over the Islanders now. Still.
Yeah, they'll pick the Penguins to beat the Capitals.
Yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, okay, one thing before we go, Dan. Kind of grinds my gears a little bit. People are still shitting on this team. And we don't need, you know, national recognition. We really don't. You know, just keep it under the radar. But this team has done something that no one thought possible. And
the only thing I don't like, Noel, is saying that this team is lucky. And it's just a product of good goaltending. Playing out, and the goaltending's not even that good. They're just in a hot streak. This team has gotten great goaltending. But it's a product of the team itself and how the team has played defensively and collectively as a whole. This team is not lucky. This team is not exceeding expectations, sure, but it's there for a reason, and it's earned every point in the standings. It's earned every win.
And speaking of what this team has done, I remember when they clinched a playoff spot back in March, obviously for the first time in, 28 years, right? Since 90?
In March, yeah.
So I remember I saw something on NHL Network how out of 23 writers, only one out of 23 picked the Islanders to make a playoff spot, and it was the second wild card spot. Only one out of 23 had them at least making a second wild card push.
Yeah.
That's one thing, because, you know, going into the season, that was such a stretch. That was such a stretch that for them to make the playoffs, everything had to go right, and we weren't sure what to expect. Look, I didn't. I didn't think they're going to be a playoff team. I thought if certain things happen, they could be, but I was able to realize that through the course of the season, this team is good. Every month, the rest of the league waited for the shoe to drop, and I feel like this team could win the Stanley Cup, and people will be criticizing like the parade route or something like that. They'll still find a way to to not give them due credit. This team is good. This team is overexceeded, and it's playing it's punching a little above its weight, but it's earned everything it's gotten this year. It's well coached. It's buying into a system, and it's not lucky. It's good.
And talking about overseeding expectations, obviously the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup last year. You finished 1 point behind them in the standings this year. Only 1 point behind the defending Stanley Cup champions for first place in the Metro. No one ever thought that they would be catching with Washington, how Washington would be running away with the division. It was a 1 point deficit between the 1 and 2 spots in the top of the Metro this year.
Yeah.
No one ever thought they would be talking about passing Washington for winning the division.
Yeah, and you don't sweep the Pittsburgh Penguins and say you're lucky. Yeah, if you win in 7, maybe a bounce here and there, but you win in 4 straight games against
team won 2 out of the 3 past Stanley Cups.
Yeah, it's it's crazy, but like you said before, there's always something to nitpick with this, and now with the first round being over and then being played in the Coliseum, we're moving over to Barclays now, and of course everyone is basically shitting on that. The fact that they play there already in Barclays, the 2016 playoffs, which they won around there, was fantastic. It was loud. It's going to be loud just because it's a building. The fans who are at the Coliseum are going to make the Barclays Center loud. So I'm just sick and tired also of that narrative that they're playing in Barclays Center. They really should be playing at the Coliseum. No, they shouldn't. That building cannot sustain playoff hockey for TV broadcasts, for national TV broadcasts. You know it, Dan. I know it. The league knows it. That's why it's not there. So now we have all these politicians writing letters to Gary Bettman saying these games really should be there. What they should be doing is writing letters to get behind Belmont. Because that's
exactly
the future.
Get those shovels in the ground.
You
get that done.
You know?
And then one thing about Barclays, I remember going back to Game 3 of 2016. That place was nuts. That place was so loud. It was insane. I remember half the time I had to cover my ears because it was really loud. I'm sure the fans and a bunch of people will bring Barclays just back to the way that it used to be. And I'm telling you, this series will be loud, crazy, nuts. And that half the reason is the Islanders also, I've seen throughout the first games, 1 and games 2, they kind of run off the fans' energy to help them obviously beat Pittsburgh and Washington, Carolina. They rely on the fans for some of that to bring the energy to them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But Zach, this was great. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Dan, we'll see you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.